40th chapter of his prophecy, Isaiah asks these questions in verse 18. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be molted. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who have created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? These words come from a chapter which is full of comfort to the children of God. It opens, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. It's a chapter full of comfort because it is full of the promise of God's salvation of his people. Though the world around them rages, though the world around them would trample them underfoot, though the world may mock and may scoff at God and his people, here is a chapter that says unto them, all is well. All is well. God is the creator of this earth. God rules on high. God rules over the nations. They are nothing in his sight. And God has a people whom he will save, whom he will redeem, whom he will deliver from all their enemies. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Behold, your God. O people of God, cast down, broken, worried, oppressed, suffering, lonely, cast out. O people of God, look up. Look up and listen. Behold your God. He shall come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. His reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He will watch over you. He is watching over you. He is the mighty God, the ruler of heaven and earth. There is no enemy that can touch him or touch his people. There is no foe who can harm you if he has you in his hands. Despite all that you might see, despite all that you might hear in this world, God reigns over his people. He is saving his people. He is delivering his people from this world. And not one enemy can harm one of his children. The chapter goes on to show us the greatness and the might, the mightiness of this God. O you who mock, you who scoff, you who laugh at those that believe in God, those who follow Jesus Christ, you who ridicule faith in God and faith in his Son as something for a past generation, as something you consider is foolishness, long gone and buried. You who laugh at this God, hear who he is. Who he was, who he is, and who he will ever be. Who he is today, and where you stand before him today. For this message of Isaiah's is written to you today, and is as relevant to you in 21st century Britain, in 21st century America, in this world, in this generation, at this time and this hour. This is the modern, the relevant, the true, the vital words that you and I need to hear. It is not the fashions of the time which will stand. It is not the current thinking of the scientists which will stand. The thinking of the scientists comes and goes. It changes like the wind. They find out something new, they change their minds. They make some new discovery, everything is rewritten. The science books, the textbooks are scrapped and rewritten. This world is shifting sands, and the wisdom of man changes and changes and changes, and nothing stands and nothing saves. And man can do nothing for your soul, nothing for eternity. You're born, you live, and you will die. Your sojourn in this world is brief. And if you put your hope in the vain promises of man, in politicians, in countries, in leaders, in the media, in pleasure, in riches, it will all be gone in a moment. And death will stand before you. And what hope do you have then? Where is your politics then? Where is your philosophy then? Where is your science then? Where is all the masses of your riches and your pleasures then? It's all about to go. And what stands before you? Eternity. And the God described by Isaiah in these pages. The message you need to hear is where you stand before the Creator of heaven and earth. The Creator you despise, the Creator you ridicule, the Creator you deny. You pretend He isn't there, you pretend He doesn't exist, you fool yourself that there is no Creator, when the reality of your life and your existence is proof. You cannot even believe your own flesh and your own mind because you're so darkened and foolish. And yet the very existence of you in this world says that you have a Creator who made you and sustained you and before whom you must stand. Then hear this message today, which is so vital to your soul and to your future. Are you looking for hope? Are you looking for hope? We've heard this past week in Britain of a people who were voting for hope for the future. Well, they have no hope in the vain promises of man, but here is hope. And if you hope for the future, then listen to the message which will bring you hope and bring you the promise and deliver on that hope. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work before Him. Listen to this God. He has measured the waters in the hollows of His hand. Who else has? You tell me, which man can measure the waters of this world, can measure the oceans, the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, the Antarctic, can take the waters in this world and lift them up in His hands and measure them? Who's so great that He can measure the waters of this world? Show me the man. Show me the God. Well, here is one who can measure the waters. Who have measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who can do such things? Who have directed the Spirit of the Lord or being His counselor have taught Him? With whom took He counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. Who do you follow? In whom do you hope? In whom do you hope for the future? Every man that you may follow, every woman, is somebody who was born knowing nothing. Someone taught them. Someone instructed them. They learned from this one. They learned from that one. They grew in knowledge, and with that knowledge they come to their conclusions. They take counsel with this one and that one. They have their advisors. And then they grow old and their memory fails. And their wisdom fails them. And it all disappears. They're nothing. They're finite. They're but men and women. They only know so much. And you place your hope in man to lead you. But here is one who was not taught or instructed by anyone. He's the one who teaches and instructs others. He's the one in whom there is all knowledge and all wisdom and all understanding. And yet you turn from Him to foolish man. You'd rather follow the wisdom of men who have gleaned their knowledge and wisdom from others and follow them to the grave and follow them into the ditch and follow them who promise hope and can deliver no hope. You'd rather follow them than follow or listen to the God who rules them and this world. The God who made them. The God who gave them their knowledge. The God who gave them their understanding. The God who put them in the positions they're in. It's God who raises up leaders and disposes of leaders. America last year had an election. And one leader went and another leader was put in. And the people, so many are full of consternation. Some are full of joy. Some are full of consternation. Oh, how the media rages against the choice of the people. Britain last year made a decision about where it will stand in Europe, and this week they've made another decision about who will rule over them. And the people think they've chosen, but they've done nothing. God appointed who would rule, and God overruled. God moves in the hearts of man. God instructs. God gives wisdom. God leads the people this way and that way. And God will take one that thinks they're mighty and take them away. And God will take one that thinks they're nothing and lift them up. God rules. And yet the fools of men follow other men to their destruction and forget God. And forget that he rules over all. And forget that it's him to whom they must answer. All nations before him are as nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. People make their own gods. They make graven images and bow down to them, so that they can see something, and worship what they can see. But God is no graven image. He's no ornate work of the hands of men. Man didn't make God. God made man, and no graven image will provide you with anything like a likeness of the true and the living God. And yet would you rather bow down to something that man's made? To something that man's made? How many bow down to graven images? Oh, you say, well, I don't. That's for a past generation. That's for the superstitious. We don't bow down to graven images. Yes, you do. All the making, all the creation of man, whether it be a physical thing, or an ideology, or a written thing, or a spoken thing, is all the creation of man. It's a graven image. Your politicians are graven images if you bow down and follow them and worship them. They've been instructed, they've been created by others. Your ideology, your philosophy, your science is all a creation of your hands. However ornate, however wonderful, however clever, and do you bow down and worship it? To whom will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare him unto? He transcends all these things. And he says unto you this day. And he will say unto you again on another day, should you come to stand before him, still captivated by the foolishness of this world, the voice of the grasshoppers who would lead you astray, he will say unto you, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? 'Tis he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who have created these things? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. This God, who you have heard of, who you should know of, who has been told to you since the beginning, of whom you should understand from the foundations of the earth, this God is your creator. He is the creator of the ends of the earth, and he fainteth not, neither is weary. And will you so foolishly deny the creator, and deny the creation, and laugh at those that believe in this creator, and believe in the creation, and believe that he created this world? Will you laugh at them because your foolish science and your foolish leaders in science are telling you a lie that you've been bewitched by? If you reject it, if you scoff at this God and his truth, then one day you will stand before him, and he will say unto you, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? Have ye not known what? Have ye not heard what? Has what not been told you from the beginning? And what have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Have ye not known that this God is your creator? Have ye not known that this God created this world through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you not heard that he sent his Son into this world to die in the place of sinners? Have you not understood that from the foundation of the earth, Christ was slain, that his blood was shed to wash his people from their sins? Has it not been told you that God made this world? That he set his love upon a people in this world. That he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for that people. That he saved that people. That he rose again victorious from the grave. That he died. That he conquered death. That he took away sin. And that he rose with that people from the grave. Has it not been told you? Has this gospel not been made known? Will you, when you come to stand before God, say unto him, we didn't know. I didn't know. I never heard. I was never told. I did not understand. Will you pretend not to know? Will you pretend that you never heard? Will you pretend that you were never told? Will you pretend that you never understood things which were there from the foundations of the earth? Will you pretend that you didn't know and try to turn the finger against God and blame him for your unbelief? Will you turn around to God who made his gospel known unto you? Who declared unto you who he is and what he's done? Who made known the power of his gospel, who made known the glory of his Son? Will you turn round unto God and blame him for the fact that you rejected him. And try to pretend unto God that he never told you. That you didn't know, that you didn't hear, that you never understood, that he never told you. Will you blame him when he has told you? If you're here today, listening to this message, if you ever hear a recording of this message, or you ever read something that says the same, if you ever hear this, you're without excuse. Today you've been told. Today you know. Today you hear, outwardly, that God rules this world. That there is a God who created you, before whom one day you will stand. That he sent his Son into this world to deliver sinners like you and I from their sins. To bring salvation. To bring hope into a world that had no hope. To bring light into the darkness. To bring righteousness into a world full of sin. To bring salvation. He sent salvation. He set his love upon your people. He shone forth his love and his mercy. And he said unto this world, and he said unto that people, behold your God. Behold the Lord God. He said unto the world, behold my Son. Behold the Lamb of God. Hear him. He said unto you. And will you on that day, when time is gone, when your life is but a vapour that's washed away, that's blown away, when will you on that day when you stand before him turn around unto your Creator and say, I didn't know. I never heard. I did not understand. I was never told. When you were. When you were told. When you did know, when you had heard, and when you should have understood, will you blame God for your own sin? Will you take your sin and your guilt and charge Almighty God with it? Because that's exactly what man does. That's exactly what man does. A man takes the things of God. He takes the truth of God. He takes today the truth of a Creator and a righteous God who upholds righteousness. And he mocks that truth and he scoffs that truth and he tramples it underfoot and he decries and mocks anyone that believes it. And he says of those that believe it and those who declare it and those who are faithful unto it, that they hold ideas and ideals and beliefs which are evil. Man says of the goodness of God that it's evil. Man says of the truth of God that it's a lie. Man says of the grace of God, the salvation of God, the gospel of God, the Son of God, that it is false, it's a lie, it's evil, he's evil. Man says of these things that they are terrifying. Terrifying that anyone should believe such things in our day and age. Terrifying that anyone should believe in a God who created, when science propounds that this world evolved by chance in the darkness, somehow out of chaos. Terrifying that anyone should believe in a God who is sure and certain and who can bring hope and who set his love upon his people and offered up his own Son to die in their place out of love for them. Terrifying that anyone should believe in such a loving and a gracious God. When science would tell us that we came out of chaos, but we are nothing. That there's no right and wrong. Terrifying that we should turn away from the chaos and the foolishness of science, which has no hope and no answers and no love and no care for your soul. That we should turn from this foolishness unto the true and the living God. Is that terrifying? Is it terrifying to believe there's a God? Is it terrifying to believe in his Son? Is it terrifying that his Son laid down his life for sinners because he loved them from the beginning unto the end? Is it terrifying that God should save his people from their sins because of his great grace and mercy to them? Is that terrifying? Is it terrifying that there is a God who rules over all things so that there is hope in the midst of chaos? Is that terrifying to you? Or would you rather destroy God and forget about God and trust in an uncertain and a violent world? Trust in those who lead you in the countries and the nations who are proved to be liars. Trust in those who after many years are found guilty of crime. Trust in those who do one thing and then do another thing. Trust in those who seek their own ends and not your ends. Is it terrifying to turn from trusting in men who will let you down unto a God who won't? Is it terrifying to turn from science which changes by the day, by the hour, which is shifting sand, which has no foundation upon which to stand, which will let you down in the end? Is it terrifying to turn from science falsely so called unto the truth of God which stands and is sure forever? Is it terrifying to turn from the violence and the wickedness of this world in which there is little hope and no certainty, and no comfort, and no help, unto a God who can deliver you with a mighty hand and save forevermore? Is that terrifying? I tell you what is terrifying. I'll tell you what is terrifying. And I'll tell you what are terrifying views. It is terrifying to come on the day you die, to stand before a God who will say unto you, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth that I sit upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, like you, little grasshopper? That I stretched out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That I bring the princes of the earth to nothing, and I make the judges of the earth as vanity. That I shall not plant them, they shall not be sown. Their stock shall not take root in the earth. That I shall blow upon any, the mighty men in whom you trusted, I shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Is it terrifying to stand before the one who says, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes. Have you not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. But even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Is it terrifying, young man, youth, to know that your youth doesn't last? Today you are young, today you are strong, but soon you will be old, and soon you will be weak, and soon you will stand before this God. What is terrifying? What are the terrifying views? Will you rest in the vain hope of man. Did you hope for much this past week? Were your hopes dashed? Will you hope again in the future? Will they be dashed? If this world follows the path you want it to, should the country get the leadership you desire? Should this thing be passed and that thing be passed? Should this happen and that happen? Soon you will be old, and then you will be gone. And whatever you had brought to pass, whatever was brought to pass that pleased you, will be gone. And then you will stand, not in time, but in eternity, before the one that made this world. Then what is terrifying? Have you not known? Have you not known? You do know. You have known. It's in all of us to know. It's in the creation around us. The sky, the stars, the moon, the world around us, our own flesh, our own body, our own conscience within tells us that we are made by this God to whom we will answer. You've known. Whether anyone told you, whether you read the scriptures or not, you've known. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have ye not heard this message? God has been preaching it from the foundation of the earth. He's been declaring to this world. He declares today. He sends preachers with the message. He sent his word into this world. And he declares it from the heavens above, from the sky above, in all creation. He says, I am God. Turn unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. I am God. Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Will you turn round to God and say, you never told me? When he sent preacher after preacher, prophet after prophet, with these truths, and what did you do with them? You slew them. Israel of old, the people of old, slew the prophets. Their blood was in the streets. And preacher after preacher has been sent with the gospel throughout the ages. And you turn your back and you shut the door and you will not hear. God sent the scriptures. He told you through the scriptures. He said, behold my son. It's been told you from the beginning. From the beginning of time, he told you. From the beginning of the world, he told you. From the beginning of the gospel, he told you. From he who is the beginning, Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. From he who is the beginning, he told you. Have it not been told you from the beginning, from Christ? Has not Christ told you? Christ reigns on high. He came into this world and he preached his gospel. He went everywhere preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He declared unto all who would hear him the truth concerning himself. He had it recorded in a book. He sent forth his disciples and apostles and sent them forth to the four corners of the world. And ever since he died, ever since he rose again, ever since he ascended into heaven, he has continued to preach his gospel. He sends it forth from on high. He calls preachers. He sends them forth. He makes his gospel known. And he sends them forth that you might hear. Have ye not understood? Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Has Christ not preached these things? Yes, he has. And you run away and you shut your ears and you say, I will not listen. Then will you on that last day turn unto him and say, I was not told? Will you stand before Christ himself, he who is the beginning, and say, you never told me, when he never ceased to tell you? Every day in this world, every day that you rose out of bed, the sun rose up in the heavens. And whatever you might have heard of the gospel, whatever you might have heard from the scriptures, whatever you might have heard from Christians, whether it was a lot or nothing, the sun rose up. And the sun rose up to say, here is the sun, a picture of the sun. That in itself told you, and you would not listen. Have it not been told you from the beginning? From the beginning. From the beginning of your life until the end, it's been told you. From the beginning of time until the end, it's been told you. You cannot say, oh, well, this is some new thing, and I missed it. I didn't hear about this. You cannot say, oh, well, they began to talk about this somewhere, sometime, but it passed me by. This was told from before ever you were born. You were born into a world in which this message was made known. It has been told you from the beginning. From the foundations of the earth. Christ was slain from the foundations of the earth. He was the Lamb slain. From the very moment this earth was created, from the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, from the moment that sin entered this world and death by sin, God had purpose. God already had a son, an offering, a lamb slain from the foundations. Blood was already there to save his people from their sins. From the very beginning. Did you not understand? Did you not understand the gospel? Did you not understand why Christ died? Will you claim not to understand? Well, you don't want to understand, do you? It's not that you can't understand. It's not that it's not been made known. It's not that you've not been told. You don't want to understand. Because to understand is to have to acknowledge that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. The blood of the Lamb was shed to wash away sin. And you don't want to understand that. Because to understand that and to own that and to recognize that and to believe that is to own and accept that you yourself are a guilty sinner before a holy God. And that is your problem. That is man's problem. Man doesn't mind worshipping a graven image. He doesn't mind being religious. He doesn't mind believing many things. This world is happy to have religion in its midst. It will protect many religions. It will grant freedom to many religions. But it won't protect and grant freedom to the truth. It tramples the truth underfoot. It describes those that preach the truth as terrifying. But it tolerates everything else. Every other graven image. Every other false god. It will not reject, but it does reject Christ and his people. You do not understand because you don't want to understand, because to understand is to recognize that you're a sinner, to recognize that you've fallen, to recognize that you've gone astray, to recognize that you've rebelled against God, to own the fact that you did know, but chose to reject that knowledge. To own the fact that you did hear, but chose to shut your ears. To own the fact that you were told, but you decided not to listen. To own the fact that you should have understood, but you didn't want to because it found you guilty. And you wanted your own pleasure. And you wanted your own riches. And you wanted your own ambition. You wanted your own way. You wanted your own praise. You wanted your own glory. You didn't want to bow down to God because you wanted to worship yourself. Every one of us bows down to a God. And ultimately the God we love to worship is to bow down and worship ourselves. Our will rules. Not his will. I'll go my way, not his way. I'll do my thing, not his thing. We see this in everyone, everywhere. We see this in children with respect to parents. Students with respect to teachers. People with respect to law and order. I'll go my way. I'll do what I will. We bow down and we worship ourselves. And we understand this. We know this. You know it. You've heard it. You've been told it. You understand it. You know you're a sinner before God. You know you're guilty before God. You know you're in need of salvation. You know that you can't stand before Him. You know that that sin needs to be washed away. And if you cared to listen, you would know that that God that you despise is a God who set His love upon this world, who set His love upon His people, and who was willing to give His Son as an offering for their sin. He was willing to send His Son into this evil world. He was willing to send His Son unto a people who knew but would not know, who'd heard but would not hear, who'd been told but would not listen, who understood but chose not to understand. He was willing to send His Son to a people who should have received Him but rejected Him, who should have worshipped Him but despised Him, who should have received Him for who He was, but they cried out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." He was willing to send His Son unto a people who took Him and spat upon Him and beat Him and bruised Him and nailed Him to a tree and pierced Him. He was willing to send His Son to people like you and I, who murdered Him and hated Him and rejected Him and put Him to death because He loved the people. He loved those that killed His Son. He loved a people who slew Him. He loved the people who rejected Him. And He took their rebellion. He took their hatred. He took their sin. And He placed it upon His Son. As though He was the one who hated. As though He was the one who rebelled. As though He was the one who sinned. And instead of judging these wicked ones that slew His Son, instead of damning them, all of them, for some of them, He judged His Son in their place. There were a people who slew His Son, but He bore the price. There were a people who hated Him, but He bore the judgment. There were a people who despised God, but He felt the fires of God's wrath in their place, because He loved them. They hated Him who had spoken unto them. They hated Him whom they should have heard. They hated Him whom they should have received. But He loved them. And though they hated Him, He loved them to the end. And though they rejected Him, He never rejected them. And though they cast Him out, He never cast them out. And though they would not have Him, He never cast them away. He took their sin, He took their rebellion, and He suffered under the price for it. He who was light came into the darkness, and He bore the darkness. And the light of the sun went away, and He died during the hours of darkness, as God judged their sin in Him. But at the end, He rose up. At the end, He rose up victorious. At the end, He delivered them from their sins. He delivered them that He might take those who are weak and cause them to be strong. That He might take those who were dead and make them to live. That He might take those who were full of sin and make them to be full of righteousness. That He might take those who had fallen and cause them to fly like eagles. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But He loved the people to the end. A weak people, a weary people, a despised people. And He saved them. He saved them. Did He come for you? Did He come for you? Is He your hope? Is He your hope? Will you hope in man who will fail you? Or do you hope in this one who loved those that hated him? Who is the creator of the earth? Who rules over all? Who comes with a strong hand? Whose arm shall rule for him? Whose reward is with him? Whose work is before him? Who shall feed his flock like a shepherd? He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with you. Will you bow down and worship this God and this Saviour? Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? Amen.